Welcome back inside. It's time for episode 2 of Brogues Knows, the podcast that takes a look at the 15 landmark U.S. Supreme Court decisions you need to know in order to be successful on the AP U.S. Government and Politics exam. Mike Broglie, glad to be back with you for episode 2. Hope you enjoyed episode 1 as we took a look at how the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause was used as justification by the Supreme Court to create the one person, one vote doctrine that now governs how we redraw congressional districts in this country. That, of course, was the case of Baker versus Carr. And here in episode 2, we're going to take a look at that same amendment, the 14th Amendment, and that same clause, the Equal Protection Clause, but in the context of another famous case. This, of course, is the case of Brown versus the Board of Education of Topeka, Kansas.
I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Yeah, sorry, Dorothy, we actually are in Kansas, as that's where we're going to have to go for case number 2. But in order to understand Brown versus the Board of Education and its monumental impact, you actually have to rewind and go back about 60 years earlier. In 1896, in fact, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled against a man named Homer Plessy, who was 1/8 African American. Plessy, who boarded a then whites-only streetcar to go home, the car, of course, sponsored by the East Louisiana Railroad Company, was told that he needed to get off the car because the car was whites-only and that he was of mixed-race descent. Plessy, who took his case before the Supreme Court, lost in a 7-1 decision in which the Supreme Court ruled that it was okay to separate people by races in public facilities so long as they were given equal access and opportunities. This, of course, created the now infamous separate but equal doctrine. The separate but equal doctrine would govern the way many public facilities throughout the United States would govern and discriminate against people of color in the ensuing decades. That, of course, would lead to de jure segregation, or segregation by force, that was used in many Midwestern and Southern states. That, of course, takes us down to 1951, where 7-year-old Linda Brown was attempting to enroll in the public school closest to her family's home. The school district denied Linda Brown the right to enroll on the basis of her skin color, something they had done to numerous families in the past. Her father, feeling that this was discriminatory and unfair, filed a suit against the school board system. 9 other families, also affected by this decision, jumped in a class-action lawsuit. The suit was taken up by the NAACP, or National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, one of the most predominant known civil rights interest groups in this nation's history. A young, up-and-coming attorney by the name of Thurgood Marshall agreed to argue on behalf of Linda Brown and the other families before the 9 justices on the U.S. Supreme Court. Marshall, of course, would garner great fame in this case that would eventually catapult him to becoming the first African-American member of the U.S. Supreme Court. In the case, the state of Kansas argued that educational systems were part of the reserve powers, and thus states could decide which students could or could not enter their doors. They also, of course, relied heavily on the decision in Plessy versus Ferguson. After much testimony and much debate, the U.S. Supreme Court did come to a decision.
The results are in.
Indeed, they were in. And they were massive. The vote, 9-0. That's right, unanimous. Every single member of the Supreme Court came to the conclusion that the separate but equal doctrine created in Plessy versus Ferguson was actually unconstitutional. In their majority opinion, the court actually said that separating people by race was actually inherently against the prospect of equality, and that it violated the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause. This, of course, meant that all schools throughout the United States must be desegregated as swiftly as possible. Integration, however, would come very slowly, as many Southern states would find creative ways to prevent African Americans from integrating their schools, including some Southern families enrolling their students into private schools so that they could avoid the consequences of public school enforcement. Several presidents over several decades would have to use their executive authority and executive force to force integration to actually be a reality in this country. The bottom line, though, is that Brown versus Board of Education opened the doors for many who otherwise would have had those doors shut in their face on the basis of the separate but equal doctrine. Thanks to Brown versus Board of Education, we all have an equal opportunity to get a great education. You heard it here, separate but equal is no good, and you got it, Mariah. We do belong together. Hope you've enjoyed this episode and hope that you've got a little bit more information to use now on the Equal Protection Clause and how it tied into Brown versus the Board of Education. We'll see you soon for episode 3. Talk to you on the flip side, everybody.